John 13, let's read verse number 21, says, when Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit and testified, and said, verily, verily, I say unto you that one of you shall betray me. Then disciples looked one on another, doubting of whom he spake. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples, whom Jesus loved. Simon Peter therefore beckoned to him that he should ask who it should be of whom he spake. He then, lying on Jesus' breast, saith unto him, Lord, who is it? Let's pray. Dear Father, Lord, thank you so much for the scripture, Lord, and examples, Lord, that we can base our life off of. Learn what not to do, learn what to do, Lord. And tonight, Lord, I think it's something we can learn to do in our life, in our daily life. I think it'll be a huge help to each and every one of us. I pray to use what I have to preach tonight. Guide my words. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. John the Beloved is my message tonight. When I read that verse number, verse number 13, or 24, it brings me kind of to my childhood. So if you go to that verse where it says, Simon Peter therefore beckoned to him, talking about John, that he should go ask who it should be of him whom he spake. How many of you were the favorite child and you knew I could get a yes out of my parents? All right, anybody? All right. That was not me. All right, it was not me. I was the oldest. The oldest is not usually the one that gets those favors. And my sister April, she was Miss Goody Two-Shoe, never did wrong, and could get away with anything. And typical youngest in the family. So if we wanted a yes, we knew who to send. You know, it was like, you're always in the favor of mom and dad. You go ask him, you know. And it just reminds me of Simon Peter. They all obviously knew that, man, John had a special relationship with the Lord. And, man, he was always in the favor of the Lord. He was always around the Lord. And, man, when they really wanted to find out, it was like, hey, you ask. You could probably get the answer. You could find out. He'll tell you. He probably won't tell, but he'll tell you. But John, it's amazing to think that a man could be called the beloved. The beloved. I mean, it's just, what an honor. I mean, you think of that God chose, out of all the people on earth, God chose 12 who were going to be very close to him, who he was going to train to carry on the Great Commission and carry on the gospel. And he was around those men all the time. But there was only one who the Bible says was the beloved. And that was John. The Lord Jesus had a lot of men that he was around, 12 men. But there's kind of only three that you could say were in the inner circle, right? That were very close. Peter, James, and John. Amen? Those three were kind of, you know, in that inner circle and really were close to the Lord. But John was kind of on a different level amongst all of them. And I believe by reading through Scripture, you can tell the disciples knew that. It wasn't that they were jealous of it. They just knew, man, he went above and beyond to become close to the Lord. Number one tonight, beloved of Christ. I think of somebody else who, how many of you ever had someone in your life that you say they were a leader in your life and you wanted to be around them a lot? Wanted to learn from them. I've had those in my life, and every chance I could, I wanted to ask them questions, be around them, Pastor Ross being one of them. And it's special to get to be in their presence, and you crave being in their presence. I enjoy getting opportunities to be able to travel with Pastor Ross. When he asked me to go with him, I'm like, yes, 100%. And then I'll ask my wife, hey, is it okay? You good with that? I'm going to be gone 3 or 4 days, you know? I need this, you know? And it's awesome. Like, we drove to North Carolina. We drove to North Carolina, and it's, you know, 12 hours and there and 12 hours back. Just a lot of hours to get to spend with somebody that you really look up to and you just want to get wisdom from. I think of Elisha with Elijah. You know, Elisha was almost to the point where, you know, Elijah was an old man ready to, you know, just, Lord, take me to heaven. And the Lord said, you know, okay, before I take you to heaven, I want you to go over here. I've got a young man who's going to serve me, and he's going to do double what you did. I want you to go train him, basically, you know? And so Elijah in his last days is having to train Elisha, and Elisha's hungry as all get out, right? Just teach me, like a young child, you know? Just, I want to learn. And they ask you questions. Your kids, when they're young, they just, everything is, why? But why? You know, everything in the world is like, there's got to be a reason. Why, Dad? Why does that do that? Why does that do that? And it's like, man, do I got to explain everything in the world? And why it's, I remember my dad growing up, he had an answer for everything. Like every question we asked him, he just had some answer. And it was just like, we used to think my dad was just the smartest man in the world. And then Google came along, and we started Googling everything he said. I'm like, that's not the truth. What? And he said, Google ruined me. So my dad says all the time, Google ruined me. I could just give any answer. And my wife thought I was just, wow, super smart. My kids thought I was super smart. He's like, now I just like, you know, I don't know. Go ask Google. I have no idea. But Elisha was determined to stick close to his mentor, Elijah. He was awarded a double portion for his spirit. Take your Bibles, go to 2 Kings chapter number 2 real quick. 2 Kings chapter number 2. Both of these men are incredible. Reading their stories, they didn't live boring lives. If you like a fighter, somebody who doesn't back down to nobody, then Elijah's your guy. If you like somebody who just is constantly doing the Lord's work, but doing it in a total different manner, but seeing double the amount of miracles that Elijah did, I mean, Elisha is incredible studying out his life. But let's go to 2 Kings chapter number 2. Verse number 1 says, "And it came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elijah said unto Elisha, Tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, As the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel, and the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha and said to him, Knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he said, Yeah, I know it. Hold ye your peace. And Elijah said unto him, Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Jericho. And he says, The Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came, and he's just like, No, I'm not going anywhere. I'm staying with you, all right? I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho, and the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elisha and said to him, Knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he said, Yeah, I know it. Hold ye your peace. And Elijah said unto him, Tarry, I pray thee, here, for the Lord hath sent me to Jordan. And he said, As the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they two went on. And 50 men of the sons of prophets went and stood to view afar off. And they too stood by Jordan. Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters. And they were divided hither and thither so that they too went over on dry ground. And it came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said to Elisha, Ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, Thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. And it came to pass as they still went on and talked that, behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven, and Elisha saw it. And he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel, and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more, and took hold of his own clothes, and rent them in two pieces. He took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and went back, and stood by the bank of Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and smote the waters, and said, Where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he had also smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. There was the transformation from one prophet to the other prophet right there in those verses. And, you know, my parents growing up raised me. And, you know, as I became an adult, my parents said, we want you to do even greater things than we did. We want you to be a better parent than we were. Take the good things that we did and use those. And the areas where we failed, improve upon those. And, hey, that's a responsibility. That's the way it should go. A first generation Christian hasn't been given that. It's all new territory for them. But boy, a second and third generation Christian, man, everything's been laid out. Doesn't mean that their family was perfect, but it's a whole lot better than some of these bus families that we pick up kids and bring them to church. And I remember my parents saying that all the time. Use the things that we taught you that were good and use them in your life and in your family's life and with your kids. But areas we failed, prove on those things. And Elijah asks Elisha, what do you want? What's something that I can do for you? And he said, I want a double portion. I want a double portion. Elijah's like, well, you know, man, you want a double portion of what I've done? I've done some pretty... Have you heard about what I've done? You know, have you seen the things that I've done? I imagine those things were going through his mind, but he thought to himself, like every parent would, I want my kids to do better than me, and I want someone who's going to fall off. I want them to do greater things. Why do I want them to do less than what I did for the Lord? And Elijah gave that to him because of his faithfulness. Because Elijah saw something in Elisha that was special. illustration, God has not bowed to our nervous haste nor embraced our machine age. The man who would know God must give time to him. Was A.W. Tozer said that. The man who knows God is someone who gives time to God. Most Christians today are Christians, but they don't give time to the Lord. You see, every one of those disciples were with Jesus, but one of them gave more time towards the Lord. One of them was around the Lord more often, and I'll get to it in a second, but you see, everywhere Jesus was, you hear mention of John all the time. John was there. John was there. Many of those disciples weren't there every time, but John was there. John just wanted to be around Jesus. He wanted to be around the greatest Christian who ever lived. He was Jesus. So John truly believed. In those days, there was critics, there was Pharisees, there was people that didn't believe. But John believed. And he full-heartedly believed. Sometimes we as Christians will say things with our mouths, and it's just talk or hearsay, but we don't actually follow up with our actions. I'm guilty of that. John wasn't just talk. John, we'll see tonight, John was somebody who wanted to be as close as he could to the Lord. We sing that song, Take Time to Be Holy. Let me read these words to you, and I want you to think about them. It says, take time to be holy. Speak oft with our Lord, abide in him always, and feed on his word. Make friends of God's children, help those who are weak, forgetting in nothing his blessing to seek. Take time to be holy. The world rushes on, spend much time in secret with Jesus alone. By looking to Jesus like him, thou shalt be. Thy friends in thy conduct, his likeness will see. Take time to be holy. Let him be thy guide, and run not before him. Whatever betide, in joy or in sorrow, still follow thy Lord, and looking to Jesus, still trust in his word. Take time to be holy. Be calm in thy soul, each thought and each motive beneath his control. Thus led by his Spirit to fountains of love, thou soon shalt be fitted for thy service above. Boy, these old hymns have some powerful words in them. Why are we going away from them? Why are churches running away from these old hymns? Because they don't want to take time to be holy. They're running away from that. They're trying to take the Bible and figure out, what can I get away with? What lifestyle can I live and be okay with? How can I justify this lifestyle? Rather than taking time to be holy. We see he was close in communion with the Lord. Go to chapter 13. Go to verse number of John. If you already left, that's fine. Don't worry about it. I'll read it to you. John chapter 13, verse 23 says, now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. Simon Peter therefore beckoned to him that he should ask who it should be of whom he spake. He then lying on Jesus' breast saith unto him, Lord, who is it? You can see there again, he was close in communion with the Lord. He's right there. He's right next to him. He's the closest one to Jesus. There are numerous incidents in the New Testament when John was close to in communion with the Lord. He was close to the Lord's Supper, like I just said. He was close to the Lord at the time of transfiguration. He was close to the Lord when Jesus went alone to pray. He was close to the Lord when the Lord went down into the ship. John made it a personal habit of his to be close, to say it with me, to be close to the Lord. Right. It was a personal decision. He made a habit of it. Why do you think you hear preachers all the time preach? You need to make a habit of reading your Bible, having a prayer life, not just doing the emotions, but those are opportunities where you can really have a walk with the Lord in secret, time alone with the Lord. John made sure he was close to the Lord. Someone once said, when we draw near enough to hear Jesus' heartbeat, we discover, as John did, that we are his beloved. He was close in court. If you go to chapter 18, it says, and Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. That disciple was known unto the high priest and went in with Jesus into the palace of the high priest. But Peter stood at the door without. Then went out the other disciple, which was known unto the high priest, and spake unto her that kept the door and brought in Peter. The Bible makes it very clear that John was closest to the Lord in difficult times. That's when you know who your friends are, correct? When you're going through something tough, when you're struggling, who are the ones who reach out? Who are there for you? Who are the ones who are there in times of need, times of heartache, times of trials? Jesus was standing in there in the courtroom, and John was there with him. John was there with him. He was a friend to Jesus. I believe as fellow Christians with one another, boy, that's a great testimony for us to look at with one another. Yes, tonight I'm talking about John being close to the Lord, but as Christians, God has a church like Blessed Hope Baptist Church. God gave us the church because as a body of believers, we need to be there for each other. We need to help each other. There are ups and downs of life. We don't know what tomorrow holds. Brother Josh didn't know yesterday that his mom was going to need to go to the hospital today. We don't know what tomorrow holds. We have no idea. But thank God that we have other Christians that can help us along the way, encourage us. I'm thankful for people in my life who have been there. It's amazing how many times, just as a Christian, when you're praying, the Lord will lay somebody on your heart to pray for them. And I'll text them. I want them to know, hey, I prayed for you today. And I'll text them, and it's amazing how many times when that happens, they'll text back, thank you so much. This is perfect timing. Thank you. It was encouragement because I'm going through this. Literally yesterday this happened. So thank you so much. And I'm like, I had no idea. No one told me that, but the Lord laid you upon my heart. Happens all the time. The closer you get to the Lord, the more of a prayer life you have, the Lord will put people on your heart to pray for them. And people need that encouragement. I encourage you to, when you pray for somebody, man, let them know. Let them know, hey, I went to the throne of God today for you. And ask God to help you. Ask God to help your family. Ask God to help your health and to strengthen you. I prayed for you today. Anybody like hearing that? Anybody say, man, that was discouraging. Why'd you got to text me that? I enjoy when someone's praying for me. There's a few people in my life that I'm not even close to them, but they pray for me all the time. They'll text me all the time, let me know. I'm thankful for that. I appreciate that. I need all the prayer I can get, and so do you. Amen. We need to be there for each other. He was close in court. He was close at the crucifixion. Go to verse chapter 19, John 19, verse 26 says, when Jesus therefore saw his mother, verse 26, and the disciple standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, behold thy mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her unto his own home. You know Jesus was pretty close to him when he asked John to take care of his mother for him after he passed from the earth. And John literally took her to his home as if she was his own mom and took care of her. That's a friend right there. You've ever heard of men in battle when they have a friend who they're in the military with, and boy, when they're dying, they ask a friend, please take care of my family. Make sure my kids are okay. Make sure my family is okay. And then every now and then you have a friend who really stepped up to the plate, and from that day forward till the day they died, they made sure that man's kids were doing okay, that man's wife was doing okay, and they watched out for them. That's a friend right there. That's somebody who truly cares about you. And Jesus knew that John would take care of his mom, take care of his mother for him. That's the trust that he had for him. He was close to him at the crucifixion. Boy, John was close to him in the glory days when everything was going great and thousands of people were coming, and boy, everything was going great. And he was there when things weren't going good, and he was there till the end. He was there from start to finish. He was close to the Lord. He was brave in his character, number two. He was brave in his character. The 18th century political thinker Edmund Burke said this. He's got a famous quote. You might have heard it before, but it says, all that is necessary for evil to prosper is for good men to do nothing. I'll read that again. He said, all that is necessary for evil to prosper is for good men to do nothing. There's a lot of evil in our world. And if you want to have no part in fixing anything and no part in getting people saved, then do nothing. Do nothing. Well, you say, I came to church. What did that do for the cause of Christ? It may have helped you coming to church, but what have you done to help those who are part of evil, those who are stuck in evil? There's people in our community right now that are addicted to drugs, addicted to alcohol. Lives are falling apart. They need Christians like you and me to reach out to them. They need Christians like you and me to be close to the Lord, and then using what God did in these times with John by his side and the disciples by his side to reach others. When Jesus came to earth, he stayed busy. He stayed busy. He was working as a carpenter, and he stayed busy reaching people. He spent every second he could preaching and reaching people and going and going and going and going and going. We don't know how much time we have here on earth. We have no idea. I don't know about you, but I want to go out reaching people. I want to go out doing everything I can to serve the Lord with my life. He was brave in character. He stood against heresy. 2 John 7 says, for many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Man, when you're saying stuff like that, you're speaking up. You're speaking. In today's world, there's a lot of heresy going on. There's a lot. Just look it up. Just go find a random church and just listen to a message being preached at some of these churches. And it's crazy the amount of things that are going on in churches, what is being accepted in churches, what they are telling people, how they can get to heaven. As a born-again believer, you can sit there and go, what are you talking about? I mean, you could ask them straight up, where in the Bible did you get that from? And they can't point you to it. They have no idea. But they say, oh, I'm a good person, or I've done this, and I've done this. But they can't point to any scripture. What are you basing your eternal salvation on? I'm basing mine off the Bible, amen? I'm basing it off the Bible. And there was heresy going around, and John stood up against heresy. There's heresy going on all around us. Thank God for a pastor that stands up here and is not afraid of you or me. He's not afraid of what we think. He's afraid of our Heavenly Savior. He's afraid of what he thinks, and he's got something to preach that the Lord gave him to preach. I'm thankful that we get it straight here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I'm thankful for a dad growing up that preached it to me straight. I'm thankful for that. But as Christians, we can't just expect a preacher to stand up and preach against heresy. As Christians, we've got to stand up against it. As our world is getting worse and worse and things are going on in the political world that are just absolutely insane, we can't stand on the sidelines. We've got to get in there. The things that are being taught, thank God some of the stuff's getting removed now from our public schools. Praise the Lord for that. These kids that come to our bus ministry and go to over there, and teenagers that come in here, boy, the things they are hearing on a daily basis, their brains are being brainwashed every single day. What they think is normal, because it's what they're being told, it's what they're being taught. They need Christians. There's a reason why we have a bus ministry. Yes, we want to get them saved. We want to teach them how to have a successful life, how to live for the Lord, how to do something. There's so many teenagers that we had in our youth group that lived that life. And praise the Lord, some of them were able to get into Christian school, some of them weren't, but they came to church faith. Man, it is so refreshing to be able to give a young person hope in life, a teenager hope. We've got some bus teens right now. Some of them just went on this trip. Daniel got to go, and it's his first time on a trip. That's big. I said, man, are you excited? He said, yeah. I said, you nervous? Yeah, super nervous. It's a different world. He's not at the public school. He's around a bunch of good Christians. He's going to go to a place where a bunch of good Christians are at, and it's exciting for teenagers to be able to get to go to these events. You know why? Because, man, we're not the only church that believes these things. There's some other churches out there like, wow, they're in dresses. Wow, they listen to that kind of music. Okay, there's a bunch. This is awesome. It's an encouragement for them. It strengthens them. It's good for us to send our kids to these type of events and things for them to get to hear preaching, but then to be encouraged and uplifted and realize, hey, I'm not the only one. Remember Elijah? Elijah thought he was the only one left on earth. Lord, just take me now. I'm the last one. Like, no one wants to listen to me. Just take me. And he had no idea. He didn't have social media. He didn't have the phone. He couldn't call. He had no idea there was other Christians all over the place that the Lord had. And he said, hey, I've got these people over here. I've got people over here. Calm down, Elijah. I know you're doing great things for me, and you're discouraged. I've got others out there. Our teenagers, they need that, those opportunities. Preaching against heresy, though. He preached against heresy. He also stood against backsliding. John says, look to yourselves, that we lose not these things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. John knew that there was there was one way to heaven, and there was being preached. When you know the truth of something, and you hear false truth being spread, it can get you stirred up, right? Or if you hear, you know the truth about something, and there's lies being spread, you're like, what is going on? No, that's not the truth. Who said that? Who came up with that? Who's spreading that lie? Brother Young works in the school, and there's drama in schools all the time, right, brother? There's just always something. And this person says this, and then kids just love to like, well, I heard this, and then it's like, what is the truth anymore? Like, what in the world? Somebody tell me the truth. When you know the truth, you speak the truth, and you want to make sure others know about the truth. John wanted to make sure others knew about the truth. He stood up for it. He stood up. against backsliding. People were backsliding, and it was becoming the norm. It's becoming the norm in our day today, where it's okay to just kind of sprinkle in a church every now and then and live whatever life you want and just slap Jesus into all of it, and it's all good. It's all good. Don't worry. We're all out here. We listen to this music. I know it sounds just like the world, but don't worry. It's got Jesus in there. It's got, you know, it's got the Lord's name into it. Don't, it's good. It's good. And we don't have any Christians these days that are actually standing up against it. You stand up against it, and what's, the reason why we don't stand up against it is when you do stand up against evil, what happens? Uh-oh, here comes the darts. Here come people. Here come all the hate. People, now they're saying, they call you a hater, right? They call you a hater. They call you, you know, you think you're better than us. No, I think the Lord's ways are better than your ways, okay? That's what I think. It's not my ways. It's what the Bible says. I'm just trying to preach the truth. I'm trying to tell the truth. Lastly tonight, he was blessed in comparison. Because he was beloved of Jesus, John experienced some unique blessings. He was blessed in that he was able to see things happen that other disciples, not as close, were not able to see. You think of the transfiguration. He was able to be a part of that and see that. John was blessed in that he was able to see things that no other living human being was ever able to see. God blessed him with longevity of life and extended time of ministry. They believe that John was the only one of those disciples who wasn't martyred for his faith. We don't necessarily know the reason, but yet we know that he was faithful until the Lord called him home. Amen. He was faithful until the Lord called him home. You're not guaranteed to go through this life without trials. You're more guaranteed to get trials. You're more guaranteed to have a surprise happen in your life that you weren't prepared for. But John was prepared for that if it ever came his way. Later on in his life, he faced some trials. He was faithful during those trials. Remember when he was on the Isle of Patmos? Remember that? That wasn't a very uplifting time. I mean, people would call that a very discouraging time, a time to be very just critical of the Lord's ways. But John looked at that trial, John looked at that time of being on the Isle of Patmos as a time to, I'm going to use this for the Lord. A time to be a testimony for the Lord, a time to be a witness for the Lord. I may be struggling, going through a tough time, but I'm going to use it for His glory. I think of my dad and my sister are just in my personal life, two of the best examples of how to handle trials. And there's many in our church that have handled some incredible, as I've gotten to know more and more of you and the trials that some of you have gone through and hearing your testimony, it's an encouragement to me, and I know it's been an encouragement to others. And not only is it an encouragement, but it's a roadmap for how others can get through things. I think of my mom or my dad. I mean, my mom, too. She's had to go through all of it with my dad and my sister. But I feel bad for my sister. She's obviously way younger than me. And from the time she was dating the guy that she got married to, my brother-in-law, she was in college. And just her body just completely broke down. And she was in a fetal position. And emergency, they had to come pick her up in an ambulance, rush her to the hospital. And she had to leave college. And they didn't know what was going on with her. And from that day forward, she has had the craziest health problems. I mean, I can't even name them all because there's been so many. It's not just one thing, but her body it's one thing after another. And she'll lose complete feeling in this arm and can't move it for 3 months. And she just has to do everything with this arm. And then she loses, can't walk for it. And then she loses complete control of her face. And her face is sagging over here. It's been one thing that it's been a roller coaster of a ride for my sister. Somebody who could quit on the Lord, somebody who can get bitter at the Lord. If there's somebody in my life that I have known very well that has some of the best excuses to get upset at the Lord, it's her. I don't understand sometimes why she goes through what she goes through. But I thank God for a sister, a baby sister, that just decided, you know, I'm going to serve the Lord with my life. I'm going to raise my family in church, and I'm going to be an example to others. There's girls all over the country. I joke around all the time that people know me all the time everywhere I go. Oh, you're April's sister. Oh, you're April's sister. They know her because, yes, her personality is get to know other people, and she just talk, text, call everybody, and she just loves communication. But her testimony is just spread like wildfire all over the place. And you can't be a help to somebody if you don't make it through something. You just can't. Why does anybody want your help? You didn't make it through it. If I look at my sister, you know, people follow her on her social media, and she kind of just gives you updates and things that are going on in her life. And so many people are just like, how in the world are you still going? How are you still doing this? How are you not upset at the Lord? How have you not thought about, you know, committing suicide? How are you doing this? And I'm thankful because she's taught me a lot. I've not gone through anything close to what my sister's gone through in my life. But my sister and my dad, they both have showed me, if I ever do go through something, this is how you do it, son. This is how you do it, brother. They haven't been perfect. They haven't made all the best decisions, but they've made more good than bad, amen? And I'm thankful for that in my own personal life. You could name some people in your life. There's some people here in our own church who've gone through some big, big, tough things. And you're here today because you got close to the Lord like John did. You were close to the Lord before. You had some friends, people helping and praying for you and there to encourage you along the way. I thank God for a testimony like we have of John here, who was just faithful to the Lord. He was faithful through trials, and he was faithful over time. One reason John was blessed more than the others was because he was just faithful. He was faithful with his testimony, but he was faithful with his actions. He was faithful with his words. He was with Jesus, like I said earlier, he was with Jesus from the time things began, through the roller coaster of the ups and downs, when the world was turning, at times when he could have been put in jail and in prison and just could have been killed. He stuck with Jesus. And he wasn't with Jesus from a distance. Remember Peter messing up? It's like, oh, the whole world's turning upside down on Jesus. Like, I don't know who that is. I've never even talked to him before, you know, and he cursed the name of Jesus. But John stood by Jesus' side all the way through. He was faithful to the end. Someone once said this, for of all sad words of tongue or pen, the saddest are these, I might have been. I might have been. In our church in Sacramento Regency there, we have a lot of Filipino people that have come and gone through the years. There's a big Filipino culture there. And almost all of them have come from the Philippines. They weren't born in America. They've come from the Philippines. And when they were in the Philippines, they'll tell you, man, we were in the Philippines. We were on a bus route. We were going sewing. We were in the college. We were doing, and they'll name all these things they were doing. Then they came to America, and they got Americanized. And now they drop into church every now and then, and now they come to America and they're making so much money in the medical world and all these, that church and serving the Lord with their life is no longer important. And you try so hard, we tried so hard to start Filipino ministries. We have a Filipino guy that was on our staff and tried so hard to get them. You go to the Philippines, I was just talking to Brother Josh about this right before the service. I got to go to the Philippines as a teenager with my dad. And man, going over there, it is incredible seeing how open to the gospel people are. And just, they just want to serve the Lord. We're going to services just in like the most poor areas when we're seeing thousands flood in. None of them had vehicles. They just came in through walking. And there was one lady who, she had to walk an hour and a half to church every single time that she came. And she would come to Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. She would come by herself. Her husband didn't live anymore. And I was just blown away. They showed us the path that she would take. And when we were there, we were driving around. I felt so disrespectful being in a vehicle the whole time while almost 90, 95% of the people at church didn't have transportation like that. They were either walking or they would jump on one of those jeepneys. You ever seen one of those jeepneys where there's like 60 people on those like little bus things hanging off on the top everywhere? But we got to be over there and see that. And to see people like that that got saved and were on fire for the Lord and come over to America and be Americanized, it made me sick to my stomach to think, wow, we've hurt people.
Right.
They've come to America and they're becoming like us. They come to our churches and they realize they see us not serving the Lord. They see, oh, most of the Christians just, they come to church, but they don't get involved in anything. They don't ride on a bus and go witness. But back home, and it's all these, we used to. Man, I used to do those things, but now, you know, things have changed and I can't quite commit to those things anymore. All of a sudden, finances and the things of life are way more important than the Lord's work. That was not John. John was faithful until the end. The Apostle Paul had a very unique relationship with the Savior. I just want to encourage you tonight. I want you to look at John's example. I could have read some more verses and things tonight based upon John's life. But I want you to think about John's life and ask yourself, evaluate yourself. And ask yourself, am I doing everything I can to get closer to the Lord? As Christians, it's very easy for us to check off all the boxes of doing things. We can do a lot of things here at Blessed Hill Baptist Church. It's not a dead church, amen? We don't go to a dead church. There's ministries all over the place, some that you maybe don't even know about that are going on, that people are doing. There's jobs in the church that I promise you couldn't name right now if I asked you to, that somebody here at Blessed Hope is doing every Sunday or every Wednesday. There's things that are going on. Praise the Lord for that. You can be busy serving the Lord and not close to Him.
Right.
You can be doing the actions. I'm guilty of it too. I've been just sold out and busy for the Lord before. Man, I remember in the first 4 or 5 years of our marriage, the schedule that we had with the church was, if I told you, it was just insane. I hardly saw my wife when my daughter was born. I was just so busy. I mean, just doing so much. We had this ministry called EFL where we were taking bus kids and getting them to the school, but they had to raise money. And every day after school, I'm pranking them going, I'd pick them up for school early in the morning, leave the house about 6:30 after school, take them fundraising all day long, knocking on doors, trying to raise money, selling chocolate bars, and then go drop them all off. And then when you drive in the city, everything takes forever because you got stoplights and stop signs and just traffic. And it takes forever. I wouldn't get home sometimes till like 8:30 at night and come home, eat dinner, and spend a little bit of time with my wife, go to bed. It was just, the schedule was just busy, and I was doing a lot for the Lord, but I can't say my relationship at that time was close to the Lord. You've been there before. You've been there before. If you're on a Wednesday night, you're a part of something here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, most likely. You're involved in something. We can go through times where we're busy serving the Lord. John and these other disciples were busy. Just go ahead, if read the Gospels. They were busy constantly. Some of them got frustrated because of how busy they were. And they just said, can we just take a vacation, Lord? Come on. Because they were so busy. But John was constantly close to the Lord. During all that time, he had a relationship with the Lord. Many of you work in bus ministry. Many of you are teaching classes or working with children all the time. And you're busy going soul winning and visitation. You're doing a lot for the Lord. But are you close to the Lord tonight? Are you close like John was? Are you striving to get closer to Him? Are you in your Bible and not just checking it off, reading those 3 or 4 chapters or whatever it is that you do on a daily basis so that you can stay on your schedule and say, okay, I did what I need to do this morning. I prayed. Are you getting alone? Do you have private time with the Lord? Quiet time with the Lord? Talking to Him? Trying to get to know, how are you taking time to be holy? Holy. Taking time to get closer to Him. I hope John's the example tonight, the beloved. He was beloved for a reason. Wasn't just given that name and told that for no reason. There was an example there that He set for each and every one of us to follow. And I hope that you look at your life right now and just ask yourself, what am I doing? Not could I be doing more for the Lord. That's not tonight's message. The message tonight is, can I be doing more to get closer to Him? Can I be doing, I'm talking on a Wednesday night crowd tonight. Most of you in here are part of something in Blessed Hope Baptist Church. You're part of staying busy. Sunday morning crowd may be different. People that need to be more involved. Maybe need to step out of faith and get involved in some things at the church. But tonight my question is just, where are you at here? Where are you at with Him? Are you striving to get closer to Him and have a relationship with Him? Are you trying to get closer like John was, where he was everywhere with Him? Everywhere he went, took time to be holy. I encourage you. Man, I got to go to a Pacers game last night with Anthony. He asked me last second, you want to go to a Pacers game? I said, how much is it? He said, I'm paying. I said, yeah, I'm going. You know? And so I went with him and got in the vehicle with him, and we turned on some preaching, and we had an hour and a half drive, and we listened to like 2 different messages on the way there. Then on the way back, we listened to another message, and then we had to listen to the State of the Union, you know, on the way back to figure out what was going on with that. But man, we got to listen to 3 messages on the way back, and it was, he had told me of some preachers that he knew that have helped him, and pulled up a couple messages. Then I pulled up a couple messages for us to listen to. We need more preaching, amen? That's a way to get closer to the Lord, because you get challenged to be more holy. I enjoy getting to go to conferences or hearing messages. Right now, we used to all the time go to North Valley Baptist Church to their pastors and workers conference, and it's going on right now. It's Wednesday, so I think it ends tonight, I think. But getting to hear some of the preaching and the services that are going on there, I promise you, you won't listen to those kinds of things and just say, well, it was a waste of time. That's times where you're like, oh, that hit. I need to get closer to God. I need to get busy. I enjoy those messages where it's like, I don't walk away saying, yeah, I'm doing all that. I'm good. Wow, feeling pretty good about myself after that. That doesn't help me. I want to go forward in my life. I don't know about you, but I want to go forward. I want to learn how to get closer to Him. And it's amazing how you can, the more you hear preaching, the more you hear things from the Word of God that you haven't heard before, or you hear them in a different way that spoke to you. I encourage you and challenge you to Hear, listen to more preaching. Read some of your more Bible. Study this thing. Study this thing. You want to get closer to God, you need to study what he put here. Not just read it and get it, you know, get it done for the day, but strive to get close to the Lord like John did. John did everything he could to stick with the Lord. You're going to face some trials like John did, like Jesus did, but John stuck with him. Stick with the Lord. Amen? Stick with the Lord. Stick with your church. Stick with your church. Someone in your church, I guarantee you, tonight might say something that's discouraging. Right? They're going to... People, humans are humans. You've said something before too. All right? Y'all have said something to me. No, I'm just kidding. But we're humans. We're going to make mistakes. We're going to upset each other. But be faithful. Be faithful, friends one to another, companions, fellow Christians one to another. Be faithful like John was. Be faithful like Elisha was to Elijah, his mentor. Be faithful to your pastor. I think there's a lot we can learn from in John's life that can help each and every one of us. And I hope tonight that was a help to you. It was a help to me just studying out John's life, and I've done it before, and it was a good help to me to be reminded of him and things that I can do in my life that I know that I made just in the last couple of days with this message that I need to, there's some things that I told the Lord that I said, Lord, this is kind of getting in the way of some things that I need to spend that time with you. I guarantee you there's some things if you go through your time, your schedule, that you could spend some more time with him. Let's pray. Dear Father, Lord, appreciate, Lord, just a servant's heart that we have here at Blessed Hill Baptist Church. We don't lack workers, Lord. We've got people that are busy serving you with their life. When you come to Blessed Hill Baptist Church, one of the first things I thought when I came here is, boy, this is a church that works. This is a church that stays busy. This is a church that wants to do something for you. But tonight, Lord, I pray that while we're staying busy for you, while we're working for you and doing the things you want us to do, the good things, it's not those are bad things, Lord. But I pray that during that time, Lord, we will be if we strive to be closer to you, the ministries and things that we are involved in will become better for it if we strive to get closer to you. The kids and teenagers and adults that we are working with, that we're trying to help, they will get help more if we become closer to you. I pray, Lord, that that would be our testimony tonight, that we look at John's life and realize that there are some things in our life that we need to cut out. There are some things in our life that we need to add. But there's definitely one thing that we can always add to our life, and it's time spent with you. Time spent with you.